Before we start, I'd like to say thank you for giving me this privilege and honour to come and talk with you about things the Lord has laid on my heart for the fellowship. And before I start, I'd like to read something from a man who, he died in 1932. His name is Samuel Chadwick, and he was a bit like Spurgeon. He helped to train people to go out and speak of the Lord. And he said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." So I would like to give this time to the Lord now in prayer. So if you could join with me. I've been listening to Lectio 365, which is a meditative prayer thing. It does a morning. I discovered a midday one recently and an evening one. And in it, they quote people again, and I was thinking about praying this morning for this time. I just want to read you something that Lectio has led me to share. There was a rabbi, Abraham Heschel, and he writes, "6 days a week, we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from the earth. On the Sabbath, we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in our soul. As we settle into prayer now, Lord, show us what it means to care for the seeds of eternity in our souls. Help us to stop counting the minutes, to relinquish control. Inspire us to live and breathe with greater ease as an eternal being, resting in his presence." And that leads me to the main theme of the morning, which is, are you ready for more? Are you ready for more? We've been learning a lot since June, I realised, when Jackie first spoke about the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And the Shekinah glory of the Lord, I will just recap in a moment. What I want to share with you is that the... Okay, so what I want to talk to you about today is how do we respond to the fact that living inside us is the Holy Spirit, which means that we are carrying his glory and his presence. He comes to settle into our hearts and into our minds so that we can become the people he wants us to be as individuals, as a church, and into the community that we live in. And what that means is something very special to each one of us because we have a personal relationship with him. It also means that we have an opportunity to understand about the fruits of the Spirit, growing in those fruits. For me, it's patience at work at the moment with my administrator, I'm going to be honest. And for you, you will have other things that God is trying to lead you into and teach you so that we can be closer to him and live according to his purposes for our lives. So this is all about my subtitle, which is Captured by His Holy Calling, because each one of us has a holy calling. If you've ever listened to the hymn, The Potter's Hand by Hillsong, it's a beautiful song, and it's all about our response to that holy calling. It says, "Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Teach me, Lord, I pray." Now, many of you will know that I am a teacher at secondary school. I have taught English in mainstream, but currently I'm kind of the administrator for the special educational needs of the children. But we all have special educational needs. Not one of us isn't neurodiverse. God made us unique. And that's a really important part of this because we have different personalities and some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts. Believe it or not, I might be labelled an extrovert. I might also be quite shy. Believe that or not, it happens because we're all a mix. And what I wanted to say is the word is near to you. The word is Jesus. He is near to us today because of the word I'm speaking to you now, because I truly believe with the prayer and preparation that God has placed this in my heart for you. So this is nothing of me and it's all of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you knock it into shape and let the message for each individual one here go into their heart. And it's all about you, Lord Jesus. What did more look like to me as I grew up? I'll tell you about that later. But in Romans 10, 12 to 15, I put a note in my Bible, which I'd like to share with you. I don't know when this was. I don't know when I wrote this note. But I put why I have intrinsically had a missionary heart. I've had a missionary heart for my life. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We are all called to share the gospel, because out there, this is where my heart has been. People are dying right now, not just physically, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. I want to ask you, how does that impact your life today? How does that get you to feel the passion of what Jesus did for us, for me personally, the suffering? I've been watching The Chosen, and I found it very difficult because season 5 takes us to Gethsemane, and the representation of how Jesus was praying during that time was so powerful, and it made me on my knees. It makes me cry now because he suffered so much. We will never have to suffer that at that level in any way, shape, or form. And so the passion comes from the love of Jesus and what he's done for us. So where's your passion now? Have a think about what that looks like to you personally and what the Lord might be going to teach you to do about it. Just a quick recap, really important as a teacher that we are teachable ourselves. And I have learnt so much from Jackie and Florin and Chris. So they're going to have to forgive me because I may be revisiting things they've taught me to share with you again. The Shekinah, dwelling, settling. We know that Moses was up the mountain and he spent time with the Lord in his presence and saw his glory. And when he came down, he was shining so much, he had to have a veil over himself because it was too bright. We know that that veil, that glory and presence was also in the Ark of the Covenant that was placed in the temple that Solomon built. The presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord was with his people. We are his people and he is here right now. Jesus isn't gone anywhere. He lives in you and in me and he is shining right now, right now. And we need to respond to that. What does that look like to you? So the rabbinical word means to refer to his divine presence and in the world. So we are his representation in the world. He had the pillar of cloud during the day, the pillar of cloud at night, which shows that in his dwelling, indwelling us, he is directing us. That's a symbolic thing now. He is with us and he's directing us and guiding us all the time. And of course, Jesus' glory was revealed at the transfiguration after he had died and come back to life. They saw him glowing with Elijah and Moses. I mean, it was incredible. They saw that physically, the disciples that were there. And then he says something very special, but let's go on. We are changed when we believe and are baptized. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us, Galatians 3, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I owe Jesus. I owe him. Because he saved me forever. I am perfectly safe. My spirit is guaranteed and sealed into heaven, as is those of us here who know and love Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. He doesn't expect us to pay him back. How can we? What he asks is for our heart. So, in the past, God's glory is revealed in the physical signs I've mentioned before. Today, God reveals his glory through his people, through us. The veil is lifted. It was ripped from top to bottom, material ripped from bottom to top. But God is here, so he ripped it from heaven down to earth. It's symbolic, of course, but the veil is lifted and God dwells in us personally. He inhabits us. Church, our bodies are his temple. His temple. 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are free. We've been set free from the consequences of our sin eternally, and we've been set free from the trauma and the gravity of death eternally. And we who with unveiled faces, the veil is off, all reflect the Lord's glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can really reflect God's glory? Wow. Wow. I'm asking myself this question all the time now because he's teaching me this is where we're at. So what does that look like to me? Are we being transformed into his likeness and ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So church, What I think the Lord is trying to teach us, well, I know the Lord is trying to teach us, is to wake up. My mother taught me, she's quite harsh sometimes, my mother, but she taught me some good stuff. One was, Elizabeth, the Lord says that if you're a lukewarm Christian, he'll spew you out of his mouth.
Whoa.
That was a big one to take on board. But it taught me about passion for Jesus and what it means to really love him and what that looked like as a child. So we are the carriers of his presence and his glory. I've said, what does that mean to us individually? In our relationship to our personal holy calling? What does this mean for our church? Are we obeying our Lord Jesus Christ's great commission, Matthew 28, 16 to 20? Why is it so important that we do? So the great commission is to go and tell. Go and tell. What does that look like to you? I'll tell you something else. It doesn't matter how old you are. Because the older people, I'm including myself in this, are nearer to heaven, potentially. So I'm getting younger because the closer I get, the newer body I'm coming to get, okay? I've put in for my size 8, but, you know, we'll go there. So God, our Saviour, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What does that look like? Before that, in that verse, it talks about praying for those in authority and for kings, etc., because they are in charge of what happens to us every day of our life. They're the ones that make policy. They're the ones that have separated our UK laws from the biblical principles. We need to reverse this change. How are we going to do that? So, just a quick thing. I'm sure that there's going to be Bible studies on the fruits of the Spirit again, which we've done the whole thing. So how many fruits are there? How many? There's 9. Okay, give me 1. Love. 2. Say again. Yeah. So faith, love, hope, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and gentleness. One more. Faithfulness. Actually, that's really good that you remembered that, Chris. Thank you. Faithfulness, because my favourite hymn, the one I want at my funeral, no, take note, Florian, is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we just sang about God's faithfulness. We sang about all these things, about him being the light in the world. We're the light in the world. We carry that light in us. We need to radiate it and shine it. And you know what, guys? It's not down to you. It's down to the Lord. It's actually really simple. Do not strive. Let the Lord shine through you. It's not us that makes the effort. We obey him, we learn and we grow, and then he plants into us his spirit more and more, showing us how to do that within the personality he's made us. So there's no condemnation if you're not a chatterbox like me. I find it easy to talk. But God made me that way, you know. That's not a sin, it's a gift. If you're quiet, that's not a sin, that's a gift. Because listening is just as important. I can listen to, I promise. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be a Bible topic, because the gifts become very important. It says, believe and be baptized, but then we have Pentecost. So for the sake of argument, the terminology they use is baptized, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my experience of that was when I was 16, and we'd had some Bible studies as young people, and it freaked me out. I went to a church with the youth club up in London, and I heard speaking in tongues for the first time. Just a little mention, speaking in tongues is the least important gift, so if you don't get it, don't worry about it. But if you've got it, that's fine. The greatest gift the Holy Spirit can give you, which is in line with the first fruit, is love. Because nothing done out of love is going to, it's like a prayerless works. It's not going to be any good, because you don't touch people if you don't genuinely love them. And only Jesus can give us that love. So we have to be close to him to experience what that looks like. And that means not hardly even noticing when others do you wrong. I did a whole series on 1 Corinthians 13. And that was the one thing when I was a child. Hardly even notices when others do it wrong. Always stand your ground in defending the person that you love. Being loyal and true to them. Do we do that to each other? Just think about how we react to each other and what we say. Because the biggest thing you can do, apart from love, in my opinion, is encourage the Christian that you're with. Trust in God's presence in your life and seek his heart to follow your calling and be ready for more, because more is coming. Florin's leadership with the leadership team with the evangelical mission field that we have, and we've seen growth in this church and young people and new members and new people coming. Bless you. I really bless you, because you are the one of the examples of how God is working in our church, and you're listening to that call. There is more, and you will get it. Jesus also said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and will do even greater things than these. I actually thought to myself, but he raised Lazarus from the dead. I was thinking about it literally. And I just thought to myself, whoa, well, what's bigger than that? But of course, in my maturity, I've learned it means the extent and outreach. Jesus was limited because of being a human being. In the sense, he couldn't go into the world. He sent his spirit because he could send his spirit, because the spirit's presence is everywhere. And he's in us. So we are part of that everywhere in the world. Without the people like the eunuch going into Africa and things like that, we would never have heard. So that greater, most wonderful, more, is that people went into the world to tell Gentiles. And it started with the disciples, and it started with their obedience, and it started at Pentecost. And they got that boldness, because boldness is one of the key things. I don't know. I don't feel very bold sometimes. I'm sure you don't too. But sometimes we have to make that step of faith in that moment. Be ready for those opportunities that Jesus brings to you, and step into them. Say one word or one sentence, and then let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because once you practice, you get things wrong. It's okay. It's okay to get things wrong in the church. If I'm getting anything wrong here today, you're my family, and I pray that you will forgive me. We're safe in a family, are we not? Because we love each other. Captured by his holy calling. Are you freaking out? Our calling as individuals is based on what is truly in our hearts. Chris, I loved his PowerPoint. In fact, if I'd had time, I'd have said to him, can you show me how to do that drop-in thing? Because it's really clever. I want to just share with you that we are radiating Jesus from our heart. And can you remember the verse that I actually got this wrong? I didn't get the words wrong. I got where it was wrong. So it was good I looked it up. Do you remember what he taught us? I've given you some clues. So there's a man. The word starts with man. What was that verse he taught us? Man looks at the outward appearance, but the God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, not 14, verse 7, and Ephesians, live as children of light. Find out what pleases the Lord, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Wow. We're not perfect. We're flawed individuals. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love the people that do not know him? How much are you going to share with us your testimony? Because I bet every one of you have got a testimony of talking to at least one person in your life where it made a difference. People start asking questions. But if it's not what we say, it's not what we do, it's who we are in Christ that really witnesses. It's the love that we genuinely allow God to give us for the most difficult people, and that includes Christians, because we don't like everybody. You know what? That's okay. But we have to love each other. We're not all the same personality. I irritate people. I know I do. I hope that I'm covered by the love of the Lord and that I love them in the same way. Because sometimes we hurt each other, don't we? Because we're flawed human beings. But church, we need to be unified. And to understand our holy calling personally and learn to live the way the Lord wants us and allow him to teach us and to change us and to transform us into the person he made us to be. And then we'll make a difference out there, because he chose us to be his vehicle, his vessel, to go and share what we know. Otherwise, we're keeping it to ourselves and people will die forever. That's serious. That's the most serious thing. How did God prepare me? I'm going to give you a quick resume of my life from 3 to 14. I cognitively knew that Jesus Christ was God and that he was my saviour, and I loved him at 3. I don't know. I went to Lyndhurst Baptist Church in Hampshire. I have no clue what the Sunday school teachers did to teach me that I didn't have to be scared of the fact Jesus died horribly on the cross and that he came back to life. I loved Jesus. I used to sing this song, I still sometimes remember it. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Moved up to Surrey, used to skip down the road, making up songs to Jesus. I remember reading about Solomon asking for wisdom, and I prayed, Lord, please give me wisdom. He didn't actually pray for wisdom, he prayed for discernment. Slightly different thing, but similar. And then I used to think, Lord Jesus, I'd like to see an angel, but I was too scared. And then I used to kiss him goodnight and thought I was being a bit silly, but I loved him. And I kissed my dad goodnight, so why couldn't I kiss Jesus goodnight? And then I learned lots from my parents. And now, since they've passed away, when I read the Bible, I think, oh, that's why I believe that's how you should do that. Oh, that's why I believe that and I live that way. Oh, that's why I keep trying this because of this. One of them is James. Your voice is a rudder of your ship, so basically be careful what you say. Some people who talk a lot find that a bit tricky, just being honest. But then, when I was, I think I'm going to skip to 10. When I was 10, the IRA were at its height in Ireland, and I was reading the newspaper and seeing the news. And I just remember I went, Mummy, somebody's got to go to Ireland and teach the Catholics and the Protestants. They believe in Jesus and it's the same God and they need to like join together. Obviously didn't understand fully the politics. But my heart was, but if they know Jesus, why can't they come together? And then Sylvia Taylor was my Sunday school teacher twice during my life and at Walton Baptist Church. And she reminded me as an adult that I'd said to her, I want to be a missionary. But I wanted to be a missionary in England because I believed we needed it just as much, if not more, than other countries in the world. And so from 10, that was my heart. I also wanted to be baptised, and the minister said I was too young. When I was 12, I wanted to be baptised, and I wasn't taking no for an answer, and I was baptised. And then this was my verse. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. In speech, life, love, faith, and purity. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So my words to you today is how, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for a long time or not. You can be an older person and a younger Christian. You can be a younger person and an older Christian. You can be a long-term Christian that's quite mature, but there's always room for growth and there's always room to remember, don't let anyone look down on you anyway, no matter whether you're young or not. Be brave, be bold. You have a right to your faith. So watch your life and doctrine closely, preserving them because if you do, you will both save yourself and your hearers. I think that means, it says work out your own salvation. So as you're working out your life with Jesus, as you are saved, it will bring people to know him too, your hearers, okay? So just to tell one last little anecdote of my life. When I was 11, I went to a convent school, and I had a sister, Marjorie, who was my form teacher. And about the second term, spring term, there's this day where they remember Mary, Jesus' mother. And I happened to be, our classrooms were in dormitories because it had been a boarding school and they were building new classrooms, but we had to have our lessons in the dormitory. And there was a chest of drawers still in this room, and there was a statue of Mary, and the sister Marjorie wanted us to go, two of us in the morning and in the evening, go and pick flowers from the garden and put it at the foot of the statue of Mary. I didn't believe that was right, and I didn't know what to do. So I asked my pastor, who went a bit fire and brimstone, because he said, it's not in the Bible, you know, la 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 la. And I went home to my mother and said, I don't feel I can say these things to the sister. I didn't feel it was loving, actually. So my mother told me what to say, and I agreed. Sister Marjorie called the priest in, and one break, everyone's going, ooh, because I'm going down the corridor to a room, and the priest is waiting for me. And I sat, he asked me, I presume, why I didn't want to do it. And I just said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So it's not for me to say it's wrong to pray to anybody else, but I just want to go to pray to Jesus. And he told Sister Marjorie to leave me alone. And Sister Mary Agnes, the head teacher, allowed me, when I was 14, I learnt to play the guitar. Not brilliantly, but enough. I don't know how I did this, it's so embarrassing. But she let me, in assembly, sing some Christian songs that were outreach songs to witness to the entire school. Now, it freaks me out thinking that happened. And I'm just telling you this because God prepares us for the calling he has for us. But remember, the first one is to go and tell. So whatever that calling looks like for you, he will prepare you for it before it happens. And the last thing is, when I was 14, I was run over by a car outside my house. There were more children getting off the school coach that day. 14-year-old, I've been crossing the road for 7 years on my own. And I thought, can't be bothered to wait. Classic teenage. And I looked behind, no car. Looked, no car. Listened for a car overtaking, didn't hear one. Walked straight out, there was one. Whacked onto my leg, up on the bonnet, feet through the windscreen, fell off and hit my head. Out for the count. My mother worked around the corner, about half a mile away. My bag and one shoe was walked down. My house was literally opposite and the nearest one. The coach driver walked down and said, can you phone the ambulance? Someone, and she, it's a young girl's been knocked over. She thought it was one of the junior school children. Then my friend takes my bag and my shoe down and she goes, it's Elizabeth, isn't it? Yes. So, first miracle, I wasn't badly hurt. I was out for 3 minutes. I didn't break anything in not one bone in my body. I just remember being disorientated and shocked in the ambulance. And all I could think of was I was babbling, not like me at all, about the fact I had a biology test the next day and how was I going to revise because I couldn't remember anything. The fact I was going to be a bridesmaid to my sister's wedding in the August or July. But underlyingly, do you know what was actually going on in my real head? What if I forget I know Jesus? What if I forget that I'm saved? Would he come back and remind me, or would I get witnessed to again and come to know him again? I was absolutely worried I'd forget I knew Jesus. That was the only thing that really mattered to me. And so, as a sort of final roundup to all the things that I've shared with you today, I believe truthfully that the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart to encourage you, not to condemn. That's not what God does. It's not what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us food for thought. It's very serious, but it helps us to understand his passion for us all, and that includes the non-believers. And we have this gift. We need to share it. But I'd urge you to go home and think about what you can remember of what I've said. And think about where your holy calling might be. Some of you will know already. Some of you may be nearly there. Some of you might not have a clue. You know what? That's okay. God's timing's perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. But he will help us as a collective by teaching us and preparing us individually. And the church is partly responsible for that. So I know that Florin has got a plan. And I know that he's talked to me a bit already about maybe having Bible studies on the gifts of the Spirit. And we will grow together and we will develop that love we have for Jesus so that we can speak to the world out there and bring many sons to glory. Will you join with us as a church to do that? I remind you, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, Paul. Instead, join in me in my suffering for the gospel, for the power of God. He has saved us and called us by his holy calling, not because of our works, but by his own purpose and by his grace. He granted us in Jesus Christ before time began. And now he has revealed his grace through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What has the Lord Jesus laid on your heart today? What will you do about it? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Will you pray that with me now? Shall we say it again? If you feel ready, because this is about your response in your own hearts, and that's got nothing to do with me and everything to do with your love for Jesus. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if is there any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.